there's really nothing else to say. I mean, between Nathan and Andrew and the songs that we sang, they pretty much covered everything. Why are you bothering her? She has done what she could. These are the words that stick out to me from this passage. The last few weeks have felt dark, but finally the sun is shining. As it's been dark, I've been reflecting on Lent and Easter and how the world embodies what we as Christians believe to be true. In our faith, we use a lot of symbols. Some of them are here in front of me. On Wednesday, we used ashes on our foreheads to symbolize our death. Tonight, we're going to be sending off lanterns into the sky to symbolize sending our burdens up to God. These candles on the sides, we light those as symbols that God is here in our midst. But with the sky lanterns, we cannot actually tie our burdens to these lanterns and let them float away. Andrew, this is Andrew. Last week he made me laugh because he's been wearing a walking boot. And he said, can I tie my walking boot to the sky lantern and let that float away? And it might take a few, but we're going to try it. We use these symbols to represent and reenact what is true and real. These symbols allow us to picture something that otherwise would be hard to see. They allow us to remember and to experience past events anew. These symbols, like the ones in front of me, they shrink to a small scale, something that is large. They make them tangible. So there are three symbolic actions that I want to talk about in the last week of Jesus' death. And this anointing is the first one. The woman today, in her act of anointing Jesus, this is a symbolic action. This symbol was so moving to Jesus that he said, wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be remembered and retold over and over again. He's about a week away from his death, plus a few days, and he's headed towards Jerusalem, a large city, and a religious center. In Jerusalem, the largest religious festival is about to take place. And the officials there, as we saw, are scheming for a way to capture and kill Jesus. You see, he's been causing problems for them because he's been filling the people's minds with these crazy ideas about their freedom and access to God. The rumors going around are that if Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he will be killed before he can cause any more trouble for those in charge. Jesus knows this. He's been trying to tell his disciples this. But they're either blowing him off or they're not paying attention to the warnings that Jesus is giving. As Nathan said, we're paying close attention because these are the last words of Jesus. If he's going to teach his disciples anything, he has to do it now. Why are you bothering her? She has done what she could. Who is this woman? Well, this story is told in several different gospels. In this story, the woman is unnamed, so we don't know who she is. In the Gospel of John, another story about Jesus' life, John says that it's Mary, a dear, dear friend of Jesus. But whoever this woman is, she's not a stranger. She knows Jesus. She's likely a disciple of Jesus, although the women were not officially counted. I think she was a disciple of Jesus and a supporter of Jesus' work, because in the next chapter of Mark, Mark says that as Jesus was hanging on the cross, there were also women looking on from a distance. And among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. These women used to follow him and provide for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women had also come up with him from Jerusalem. It was faithful women like this woman who kept Jesus housed, fed, financially supported him as he traveled around. It's very modern. Someone had to pay the bills. There's a story in another gospel that says that Jesus needed to pay his taxes, and so he sends the disciples to go fishing, and they find a coin in the mouth of the fish. But it takes more than one coin to feed 13 men. She and the other women, they mended Jesus' clothes, they baked his bread, they packed his things for traveling, and she likely spent time sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his teachings. So we don't know who this woman is, but we know that she did have a relationship with Jesus, and that she was close enough to Jesus to understand his mission in the world better than even some of the men in the room. So I'm going to call her Mary. So when Mary hears that Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem, all the color drains from her face. As a woman, she knows how unsafe it is to cross powerful people. She knows in her body the danger that her friend is facing. Jesus is going to die. So she packs a bag, grabs her perfume, and heads to see Jesus one last time. When she arrives at the house, without hesitation, she gets right into the middle of all the action and breaks glass. She releases an unmistakable fragrance of death. This is embalming perfume at the dinner table. She's disrupting. She interrupted their party, and she made it an inhospitable, uncomfortable situation. She was not invited, and she was bothering them. And they rebuked her harshly. But Mary takes it. She knows that she has done all that she can to support Jesus throughout his ministry. She cannot change the outcome. The life of Jesus, her friend, is now in God's hands. So she acts out her belief by prematurely anointing him for as you would a dead body. She is saying in this action, you are already dead. She acts out the future revealed to her by God like a prophet. In the Old Testament, prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they could the direction of the nation on their own. They needed people to listen to them. So they used symbols and gestures to make people understand. These gestures, they were often extreme and strange. Jeremiah buried his dirty underwear under a rock in a river for years as an object lesson. And then he took them out and he said, look, you people, you're like this dirty underwear. Good for nothing. Amen. The prophets are in the business of bothering people and making us uncomfortable. They make us squirm in our seats. Mary had done all that she could. Now she's resorting to symbolic action so that everyone in the room knows what's coming. Moving on to the second symbol. After Jesus was betrayed, the people who wanted Jesus dead, they didn't have authority to actually kill him. So they concoct a story of treason, and they make their case to a man named Pilate. Pilate does have authority to kill Jesus, but Pilate doesn't care one way or the other if Jesus lives or dies. It doesn't affect his life in the slightest. He will make his judgment, innocent or guilty, and then his tomorrow looks exactly the same. Pilate sees the injustice. He knows what they're doing. He admits that there is no evidence to convict Jesus. Pilate is in a place of authority. He could stop the suffering, but he cannot be bothered to get involved. Pilate washes his hands. In doing so, he is using this symbolic gesture to rid himself of guilt of his inaction. Unlike Mary, Pilate has not done all that he could. His symbolic gesture is worthless in the scope of history because symbols cannot be substituted for actions. Symbols cannot be substituted for actions. I confess, this is mine and our temptation as Christians, because symbols mean a lot to us. They give us life. They help us deepen the way that we experience the world and the way that we experience God. But we need to be careful because we cannot detach the real events from the symbols that we use to represent them. We cannot forget that these symbols, they represent real things. And it's the real things behind them that make them valuable. We're in danger of worshiping the symbol instead of the good God behind them. If we light candles, praying for prayers of reconciled relationships, but never do the work of reconciliation, it's an empty gesture. If we as a global church hold up Jesus as our symbol and do not do the work that Jesus is known for doing, then our Jesus is an empty symbol. Jesus did the work. We, like Jesus, need to side with the oppressed and decry any action that injures or dehumanizes God's children. This leads us to our third symbolic action. And I'm jumping back a little bit in time with me. So, on the night that Jesus was sold out by his friend before he was arrested, Jesus broke bread. And he said, "This bread is a symbol of my body broken for you." And he poured the wine and he said, "This wine is a symbol of my blood shed for you." The bread and the cup, they are symbols. The real action behind them is the torture and death of Jesus. The cross is not symbolic. The cross is real. The bread and the cup, these are the symbols. The cross, the death, and the broken body of Jesus, those are real. Jesus was killed because he refused to stop elevating the marginalized, the oppressed, the forgotten, even when he was threatened. We don't hold up Jesus as our center because he uses really great illustrations. We hold up Jesus as our center because he did really great things. The cross is not symbolic. Jesus died not symbolically, but actually. The people whose power and security was threatened by the freedom and love of God that Jesus was offering, they schemed and they baked up false accusations and they murdered Jesus during normal business hours. It stands for what it is: the systematic crucifixion of an innocent man because he offered humanity to the masses, the disadvantaged, and the forgotten. Jesus was killed because he would not stop speaking up for you. He believed that everyone had value, that everyone who is sick should be made well, that everyone who is hungry should have plenty to eat. And he thought that you cannot contain God in a building and sell access to the biggest donor.
Amen. Come on.
In this story, Jesus says, you will always have the poor among you. And he didn't say this because he was hard-hearted. Jesus spent his entire ministry caring for those who did not have any access to means to help themselves. At the end of his life, Jesus had done all that he could. There was nothing else for him to do. And for this reason, this symbolic action of the anointing of Jesus was appropriate. When words and actions have reached their end, we need symbols, poetry, and art. Mary knew Jesus. She knew who he was, and she knew what he was saying, and what he was saying was going to get him killed. We cannot confuse the symbol with the reality. We cannot be so protective of our symbols that we forget to protect the people that Jesus died saving. Jesus taught us that we all have equal standing before and access to God. That was dangerous to the systems that love to categorize and prioritize people so that they can be leveraged against each other. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, this is what this means. Jesus is our model. We give our whole selves to the mission that Jesus started. We do whatever we can, whatever you can, because aren't you glad that God loves you? Aren't you glad that God loves you? Jesus died to tell you that you are loved by God, valuable, just because you exist, because God made you. We believe that everyone needs to hear this good news, even if it kills us. For some of us in this room, doing what we can means raising good humans who love God and love their neighbor. For others, it means something else. But for all of us, not as individuals, but as a community, it's doing what we can. I've heard many people say that when they die, they want God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But I want us to think about the mission of Jesus and this woman. And I hope that God says of us, "Why are you bothering them? They have done what they could." I want people to be bothered by us, because they were bothered by Jesus. It's not action for action's sake. We're not agitating for any particular group. Because whatever group you feel like you affiliate with, their agenda is not God's agenda. Jesus did the things he did because he and God were of one mind. Jesus' desire for the world was God's desire for the world. We must be of one mind with God and foster the relationship necessary to act when we are supposed to act and where we're supposed to act. Mary's actions grew out of knowing him, knowing Jesus and his mission intimately. If we're going to make the world uncomfortable, it has to be rooted in the deep understanding of God's dream for us and love for all people. We need symbols. It's symbols that help us remember who God is and to grow in that relationship. But Jesus actually broke his body, and Mary actually poured out her all for Jesus' mission. She had nothing else to give. Had nothing. And we need to ask ourselves what it looks like for us to realize what Jesus did for us and what it would take for us to do what Mary did, to do all she could for the mission of Jesus until there was nothing else she could do. We have to find a way to move from here to here. Because if we get stuck in the middle, appreciating this symbol, but not recognizing this one, we're stuck in the middle. And in the middle is symbolic gestures that make us feel better, but don't mean anything. Let's pray.